Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. In this edition, we speak to Dennis Amorosano, Senior Vice President and General Manager for Canon Information and Imaging Systems, a division of Canon USA. We talk about the often overlooked need for print compliance, how your office printer may cause GDPR headaches, and ensuring that business imperatives don't hit a regulatory roadblock. We asked Amorosano to introduce himself and describe his role at the company.
My name is Dennis Amorosano, and I actually work in a Canon USA subsidiary that we call Canon Information and Imaging Solutions. We're basically a software development and delivery company, focused on those types of offerings for Canon in the Americas. And I'm the Senior Vice President and General Manager of that organization within Canon.
What, in a general sense, is print compliance? Who should be most concerned with these risks? Does oversight lie with information security officers, CCOs, or even board members or a board-driven committee?
Obviously, when we talk about security and compliance in general, this is a major topic that, we see in the marketplace. It's a major topic of virtually every customer that we do business with. And, historically, the devices, if you will, that have kind of been the endpoints within a customer's network environment haven't always necessarily been the ones that have been the primary focus of security and compliance. And so what we've seen certainly over the last number of years is that the traditional print device and of course, the multifunction devices are now becoming, much more integrated, if you will, into the InfoSec policies that customers are creating, due in large part to the fact that these devices, of course, are sitting on corporate networks and in many cases, given their multifunctional type capabilities, they're being used for much more than just driving document output. So when we talk about print compliance, we really talk about, establishing standards inside an organization for the manner in which these kinds of devices are going to be incorporated into a customer's overall information security policy. And then, of course, the manner in which these devices are going to be managed in connection with those policies.
Even though GDPR is designed to protect EU citizens' data, there are significant ramifications for U.S. companies. In an earlier conversation, Canon's folks pointed out that, and unknown to many, print and document security is fundamental to GDPR compliance. The inconvenient truth, they told us, is that GDPR affects all types of personal data workflow, regardless of whether it comes in printed or electronic format.
The chief information officers, the InfoSec, personnel, have in essence taken on the ownership of ensuring that print and MFP-related devices are secure in much the same way that they're securing the network itself and other devices that, sit and hang off the network. So, that being said, while they certainly have the primary responsibility, this is an area that all users in an organization have some responsibility for. So, I'm sure we'll talk about it, in a little bit, but, one of the things about, securing print and MFP technology is that it's one thing to secure those technologies from the network perspective. It's a whole other thing to try to secure those technologies in terms of the way in which information is being processed and managed, through those types of devices. And again, while yes, the primary responsibility here kind of falls to IT and rests on the shoulders of the C-suite, the reality is that everybody inside the organization has some level of responsibility for trying to ensure security and compliance in connection with the way in which the devices are being used in their environment.
According to an IDC survey recently, more than half of organizations, roughly 51%, incorrectly indicated that GDPR excluded print, and another 11% said they didn't know if GDPR included print or not. How troublesome was that, we asked.
Well, of course, GDPR, like a lot of these types of regulations, it's something that's caused quite a bit of turmoil, I guess you would say, in the industry in general. And if you go back to look at kind of the genesis of GDPR, this kind of goes back to 2016 when the EU, made the decision that they were going to, significantly stiffen and strengthen, if you will, the policies and regulations around privacy and how, customers as well as companies dealt with, personally identifiable information. Now, of course, the regulation didn't actually go into effect until May of this year, May 25th, in fact, and of course, the reason I know that date is because we, like many companies, were basically ensuring that our systems were up and ready to roll, when the regulation went live. And you might think that, okay, we're located in the U.S. and the primary customers we deal with are U.S. entities, but the fact of the matter is, when we deal with customers here in the United States, many of those customers are global in nature. So. And in many cases, we're driving technology implementations for those customers on a global basis. Not only that, we're actually supporting those customers globally. So, as a result, we are in fact capturing some level of information from the customer that could be considered to be personally identifiable. Albeit it's not a lot, it doesn't matter how much it is. It just matters that you have it. So, we had to undertake, quite an extensive review of our systems to ensure that, whether, for example, it was the our order processing systems or the technical support systems that we utilize or even our marketing automation systems that, we had put appropriate safeguards in place in connection with the information that we have. In some cases, we've actually anonymized the data in the systems as a means of protecting that data. And certainly in the case of our marketing activities, albeit we're primarily marketing to U.S.-based customers and prospects, it's a much smaller world today than it used to be. So, many of our marketing efforts and initiatives do, in fact, attract European customers as well. And so, we had to undertake an effort to ensure that we could contact those customers, make them aware of the data that we had, and give them options, for us to have them continue to opt in to messaging we were sending. Or actually erase the data that we had on those customers in our system. Even though GDPR obviously has had a much bigger effect, frankly, on European-based businesses, given the nature of the data that they have and the systems that they use, we very much have been impacted by this as well in the U.S. And of course, when we think about GDPR in general, I think one of the other things we recognize is that it's highly likely that, some additional level of privacy regulation is going to make its way into the United States. And whether that happens at a state level or a federal level, the fact that at least we as a company have been able to address GDPR certainly at least, prepares us in the event that we see additional privacy regulations emerge in the U.S. Similar to what we've seen in the EU. So, of course, we'll see ultimately, how this impacts, business on a longer term basis. But, suffice to say, we've had to certainly modify our systems, our policies and practices and the like in order to make sure that we're in compliance in cases where we're dealing with customers who have European-based operations in addition to the operations that they have here in the U.S.
What are Amerisano's recommendations for establishing a print and document compliance program?
Yeah, it's interesting. Those statistics, I think, they kind of jump out at you, right? But honestly, having been in this industry, in my case now, 25 years, it's not that surprising. Again, kind of going back to just the whole subject of security in general, you know, if we go back even 10, 15 years ago, you know, we saw so many situations where customers really just didn't give any thought to securing print and multifunctional oriented technology in their network environment. They just didn't perceive it as a risk. And while certainly that's changed, I still think some of those kind of traditional attitudes, if you will, you know, they prevail. And I think people in many respects, you know, don't think so much about the fact that an MFP or a printer in many cases is you know, being utilized to process or print information that would be considered, you know, confidential in nature, number one, and inclusive of personally identifiable information. I mean, as a case in point, if you think about, you know, how, you know, print and MFP technology is used within various industry sectors, whether it's financial services or whether it's healthcare, legal, et cetera, I mean, they're being used all day long to print all kinds of data and information that would be considered to be personally identifiable. So, so again, I mean, the industry is coming around, but, you know, the fact that, you know, so many of the folks surveyed by IDC are still, you know, not aware of the fact that GDPR covers, you know, print. You know, I think is still indicative of the fact that, you know, people just typically don't think of print devices as things that need to be secured, you know, in the context of an overall information security policy. So hopefully, if nothing else, you know, maybe this new regulation will get customers to begin thinking about, you know, print within that context. Certainly, if they do, that'll be better for customers, certainly better for the industry, and ultimately better for, you know, anyone whose information is actually being sent and processed by one of these types of devices. We see this quite a bit. I mean, just given, you know, Canon's position in the marketplace and given the nature of the services that we provide. So, you know, oftentimes when we engage with customers, you know, we find today at least that, you know, they've done a fairly good job of looking at securing the network access to the device itself in much the same way that they would, you know, secure access to servers and PCs and so forth. Of course, most of the technology that ships today ships with some kind of an embedded hard disk drive overwrite capability, which, you know, if the customer enables that, it allows for those devices to overwrite the data that's been processed. So there's some level of protection there as well. So to a large degree, the customers have done, you know, in some ways they've done more certainly than what they had done in the past. But again, when we kind of go into these types of scenarios, we work with customers to really assess the nature of the way in which their devices are set up and configured inside their environment, and we compare that to their standard IT information security policy, and that really is a core recommendation that we provide to customers. You know, let's take a look at the way in which your devices are you know, connected. Let's take a look at how they're set up. And let's compare that to your traditional information security policy, and let's try to mirror that InfoSec policy in connection with the way in which we're going to configure devices. And of course, once that happens, you know, we can then do all the things that are necessary in terms of device configuration and the ongoing monitoring and management in cases where devices may fall out of compliance. And there are ways in which, of course, devices can fall out of compliance. So, you know, if there's a service visit on a device and we need to upgrade the internal operating system of a device, for example, that can have an impact on settings. And there are a whole host of other things that could do that as well. So we want to monitor that on a continual basis to ensure that we can always keep that device in compliance with respect to the configuration policies and so forth that we've set. But one of the biggest areas that we ultimately have to drill down into in regards to print and document compliance is just that, it's the document. And you know, how is the document being processed? What's happening to that document at the conclusion of the process? Where is it being sent? How is it being sent? For example, is it being encrypted, not encrypted? How is it being stored? So, looking at ways in which to really secure and manage the information being processed within the device becomes critical. And in many ways, that's the most challenging part of providing security and compliance. Because when you think about it, if you're dealing with information in digital format, in many ways you have a lot more flexibility in how you might be able to actually secure that content. Again, you can encrypt it, you can overwrite it if it's on a hard disk, things of that nature. But one of the biggest challenges with print devices, frankly, is the fact that they're producing physical output, and so the question then becomes, well, how do you secure physical output? And as we've already discussed, right, I mean, a lot of this output does, in fact, contain personally identifiable information, particularly if you're in healthcare, financial services, legal, and other types of industry sectors. So that becomes a really, difficult challenge for most customers to deal with. And I think today, if you look at what's going on in terms of device security and compliance, it's kind of the last mile, if you will, that still has not yet been traversed. So, customers have done a lot in terms of network security, physical access controls, things of that nature. But where I think most customers are still lacking, honestly, is in how do you secure the paper that actually comes out of the device, and how do you prevent that paper from then being, misappropriated or walking out the front door of your office and things of that nature. So I think that the customers will eventually get there, but certainly today that tends not to be a major area of focus for most customers from a security and compliance perspective.
How can information security officers deal with the myriad of print devices scattered in offices around the globe, many, perhaps, that are unknowingly holding sensitive data on their hard drives?
I mean, it's like anything else from a security and compliance perspective. I mean, you can't necessarily completely insulate yourself from risk. There's always the risk that you're going to run into some type of a challenge. In fact, in many cases from a security perspective, the risks tend to come more from inside your own organization than they do externally. And again, I think most customers have done a really good job of kind of mitigating their external, risks, from a security standpoint. So, but again, that internal risk is fairly significant, and in many cases, that internal risk is innocuous. It's something that happens in many ways without an employee, realizing that they're actually exposing their organization to risk just based upon the manner in which they're using content that's being either processed by an MFP device or produced as physical output. So I think one of the nice things we're seeing, though, in the marketplace is that a number of companies are looking at ways, to address this through technology solutions, of course, Canon being one of them. Suffice to say, we're finding solutions emerge in the marketplace that, will give customers an opportunity to be able to audit all of the things that are being processed at the device and for example, capture the information about, what was printed, who printed it, when was it printed, and so forth. That certainly helps create at least an environment where breaches can be more easily identified and gaps in security can be addressed. And then, of course, that technology is also, moving to a point where it's now becoming capable of preventing things from being printed or faxed or scanned and the like, just based upon its ability to recognize keywords within the document itself that's being processed. So, again, I think the marketplace is kind of moving in the right direction, albeit if you look at most customers today, they don't have quite that level of security and compliance in place with the print devices that they're using.
How can you best meet GDPR standards for a right to be forgotten and the good hygiene practice of holding only the data you need and only for as long as you need it. How does this fit within managing document compliance?
When you look at larger organizations who have these enterprises that kind of scale out geographically, for the most part, I think you'll find that their network infrastructure is fairly well connected. So as a result, they're able to see all the technology on the network, including their print devices. And of course, the printers that are being sold today, when they do connect to the network, much the same way as you can see servers remotely and routers and other network infrastructure, the printers show up as well. So for the most part, you can centrally manage these devices and you can centrally, for example, control them in terms of, invoking a security policy that can be monitored and have devices, for example, automatically revert back to the policy configurations in cases where they might fall out of compliance. You know, as an example, Canon's technology allows us to do that on behalf of customers. So, even if I happen to be a global customer and I have devices all throughout the world, from one centralized location, I can basically manage all of those devices with the tools that Canon provides. And, again, I can set specific security policies such that if the devices fall out of compliance, they'll automatically revert back to the policy that's been established. So again, the industry's come a long way there, and that's good for the most part. Now, having said that, you run into all other kinds of issues when you're dealing with organizations who have lots of employees who are not physically bound to an office location. And you also run into scenarios where, although you do have a physical office location, those locations may be located very remotely in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, and the network connectivity into those infrastructures may not be so great. So that creates a whole host of challenges, particularly the remote employees who may be using devices, at their homes and so forth, as opposed to having them connected to the corporate network. And again, I think when we look at those types of scenarios, in today's market, there hasn't been a good way of addressing security and compliance around the use of technology in that manner. I think we will see that come over time, but that's certainly an area that I would say is still a gap to a large degree in terms of print security in particular. And one that again, over time, I think we'll find the industry will find ways to ultimately address that, and customers eventually, I think, will be forced to implement controls in cases like that as well.
That's all the time we have for this edition. We've been talking to Dennis Amorosano, Senior Vice President and General Manager for Canon Information and Imaging Solutions.
Yeah, well, again, I think when we look at the devices in particular, the devices are generally speaking, I mean, they're not holding personal information, other than they may be holding information regarding an end user's credentials to authenticate to the device. That being said, I mean, that usually is for example, card data, because most cases today, customers who are requiring an end user authenticate themselves at a device before using it, they're linking that authentication to their corporate ID. So it's not as if the device is holding the actual name of the individual. It typically is holding a card number, which is being resolved to a name that's sitting in a customer's Active Directory, as an example. So generally speaking, the device itself is not kind of holding that kind of information. However, as we've discussed, to the extent that people are sending information to the device to be processed for print, or they're scanning information at the device, there's no question that the documents that they're sending to a device for processing purposes can oftentimes hold that information. And so what most customers again are doing is that they're really leveraging the overwrite capabilities in the devices that ship standard today to ensure that those devices are configured to overwrite any content that's been processed. So that content is not being stored resident in the device itself. I think the bigger question in regards to right to be forgotten and hygiene practices is not so much about the devices themselves, but it's really around the systems that companies like ours and others are using to interface with our customers. So as we've discussed, our technical support, system as an example, and I'll use Canon Information and Imaging Solutions as an example because this is exactly what we had to do. We ordinarily would house, personally identifiable information in that system so we could easily identify the contacts at the customer location, et cetera. And what we've done in the case of GDPR is we've basically anonymized all of that information. And the other thing that we've done is we've set specific policies in regards to how long we'll maintain that information. And those policies, of course, have then been vetted with each individual customer to ensure that those customers are in agreement with the manner in which we're going to store and manage their data. The other issue, of course, we've had to deal with from a technical support standpoint is in cases where we have to troubleshoot a problem and we need specific information from a customer to do that. In the past, it's been very common for us to ask the customer to provide us with let me call it the production level information that they've used in their organization to try to recreate problems. But today, for example, because of this regulation and others, we're really asking customers to provide us with either sample data or anonymized data in cases where we're looking to troubleshoot and recreate problems that they might be experiencing. So these are just a few examples of some of the things that we ourselves have done in order to ensure that we can drive compliance. And of course, that's in addition to even our own internal policies in regards to who actually has access to systems. So we've actually gone through quite a detailed audit of who accesses any of our systems within Canon. And as a result of that audit, we've made significant changes to access controls inside our organization so we can again be assured that even inadvertently we're not sharing what could be considered personal identifiable information with personnel inside our organization who would not have a need to know. So again, I mean, these kind of things for business are not great, frankly speaking. I mean, when you get this kind of regulation that comes down, it does not make it easy for businesses, frankly, to react. And as you would expect, there's always this balance that we're trying to create between the need for securing information and the need for effective and efficient business operations. So that being said, it is kind of what it is, and so obviously we have to comply with regulation, but it's not always so simple, and certainly for customers in Europe, as we've discussed, and companies in Europe, they have a much higher burden to deal with, just given the fact that all of the information they're dealing with is in many cases, covered by the new regulation. And so they've had a lot more heavy lifting to do than we've had to do here in the U.S., albeit, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see some of this type of regulation make its way into the U.S. over time as well.